afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money.
Today, we have an article about dental scams and a story about a woman who faked cancer for years. This article is from Fast Company, October 7th, 2024. Dental scams are all over social media. Here's how to protect yourself. Veneer techs often promote themselves on Instagram and TikTok, promising a full set of veneers for less than a half of what dentists typically charge. If you have stained or chipped teeth, you might be considering veneers, customized teeth coverings that can restore a photogenic smile without more extensive dental work. But dentists warn that these pricey cosmetic enhancements are at the center of a worrisome online trend. Unlicensed practitioners without proper training or supervision offering low-cost veneers. These self-described veneer techs often promote themselves on Instagram and TikTok, promising a full set of veneers for less than half of what dentists typically charge. Some also market their own training courses and certifications for people looking to get into the business. It's misleading, health professionals warn, and illegal. All states require dental work, including veneers, to be performed under the supervision of a licensed dentist. On Thursday, Georgia law enforcement officials arrested Brandon Diller, who promoted himself to 158,000 Instagram followers as Atlanta's top veneer specialist and trainer. Diller practiced dentistry without a license and sold training and certificates, which were worthless, and provided no legitimate or legal credentials, according to an arrest warrant from Fulton County's District Attorney's Office. Here's what to know about veneers and how to avoid bogus providers and services. What are dental veneers? Veneers are thin, custom-made dental coverings used to hide minor imperfections or fill in gaps between teeth. Unlike crowns or more invasive dental implants, veneers are almost always considered cosmetic dentistry and generally aren't covered by insurance. Dentists usually charge between $1,000 and $2,000 per tooth for veneers, with higher prices for those made from porcelain compared with lower-grade materials. Placing veneers involves stripping some of the natural enamel from the tooth and bonding the new covering into place. Because of that process, getting veneers is considered an irreversible procedure, according to the American Dental Association. They are not permanent and can be expected to last between 5 to 15 years before they degrade and need to be replaced. In recent months, the ADA has been stepping up warnings about the risks of veneer procedures done by unlicensed individuals. Quality control is lost without the involvement of a licensed dentist, said Ada Cooper, a New York-based dentist and ADA spokesperson. We undergo years of education and training and need to be licensed by various regulatory bodies before we can practice. What are the risks of getting veneers from someone who isn't licensed? Improper veneer procedures can cause a range of health problems, including severe pain, nerve damage, and tooth loss. Patients need to be anesthetized before the enamel is removed from their teeth. It could be incredibly painful if they're not anesthetized correctly, says Dr. Zach Truman, who runs an orthodontic practice in Las Vegas. You can also go too deep into the tooth and penetrate what's called the pulp chamber, which contains blood vessels and nerves. One of the biggest problems Truman sees with unregulated veneer work is that customers aren't getting screened for existing dental problems, such as gum disease and cavities. If you put a veneer on a tooth that has an active cavity, you're just going to seal it in there and eventually it's going to progress to tooth loss, Truman said. Dental veneers aren't the only option for improving the appearance of teeth. Over-the-counter whitening kits can help with minor stains and discoloration, and dentists can sometimes use composite materials to reshape chipped or uneven teeth. But Truman says those fillings are prone to crack and won't last as long as veneers. How can I spot bogus veneer providers online? One clue, many individuals performing unlicensed dental work promote themselves on social media as veneer technicians. Instead of working out of a dental office, they often perform treatments at beauty salons, hotel rooms, or private homes. Some advertise multi-city tours and encourage clients to message them to book an appointment in advance. Much of the appeal of the services is in their pricing, with some offering a full set of veneers for a flat fee of $4,000 to $5,000. That's less than half of what patients can generally expect to pay at a dental office. Performing dental work without an appropriate license is illegal, the ADA notes. Dentists and hygienists are licensed by state governments, who also define the work dental assistants can perform. But in all cases, veneers and other dental procedures must be supervised by a licensed dentist. Earlier this year, Illinois law enforcement officials arrested a woman running a business called the Veneer Experts after she posted videos of herself fitting braces, veneers, and other dental products without a license. She was previously arrested in Nevada on similar allegations of practicing dentistry without a license. What are the best ways to find legitimate dental providers? The ADA maintains a website detailing the training and licensing requirements for dentists across the U.S. Most states also maintain websites where you can look up and verify licensure information and find any past disciplinary actions for dentists and other health professionals. It's really critical to understand that dentistry is a regulated healthcare profession that requires formal educations and licensure, Cooper said. And this article is from People magazine. Amanda Riley faked cancer for nearly a decade. Here's how she got away with it and how Scamanda finally got caught, by Jessica Sager, updated on October 18, 2024. Amanda Riley never had cancer, but she made more than 300 people believe that she did. Amanda faked a dramatic cancer journey for nearly a decade, soliciting donations from loved ones and strangers to rake in more than $100,000 for medical bills she never had, plus trips, gifts, tickets to events, free babysitting services, and more. Using her blog, social media, and strategically shot selfies, Amanda claimed to be battling Hodgkin's lymphoma, alternating between remission and relapses at least four times from 2012 to 2016. During this time, she and her husband even had two sons, who she called miracle babies. Amanda's story was detailed in the 2023 podcast Scamanda, which will be adapted into an ABC special premiering in 2025. Both offer a deep dive into Amanda's crimes and her eventual conviction. So how did Amanda Riley defraud so many people, and how did she get caught? Find out exactly what Amanda Riley did and where she is now. Who is Amanda Riley? Amanda Riley was born Amanda Maneri on June 24, 1985, and was raised in San Jose, California. Amanda met Corey Riley and his then-wife Aletta when she was a 17-year-old cheerleader. They hired Amanda to teach dance to Aletta's daughter, who was being treated for cancer and was immunocompromised. Corey was 29 years old at the time, and he and Aletta shared a 6-month-old daughter named Jessa. In the ensuing years, Amanda's college classmates recalled that she frequently cited illness for her absences from her job as a resident advisor, RA, in college at San Jose State University. Corey and Aletta divorced, and he later married Amanda. While the exes were amicable at first, their co-parenting relationship grew acrimonious, Aletta said in the premiere episode of Scamanda. Corey and Amanda filed for full custody of Jessa, who Amanda referred to as her bonus daughter. In court, they claimed that Aletta was unstable and deliberately trying to alienate Jessa from her father. Aletta and Jessa, who is now an adult, both vehemently denied this. Amanda began her blog, Lymphoma Can Suck It, in 2012, chronicling her alleged battle with Hodgkin's lymphoma, a form of blood cancer. She claimed to have been diagnosed with the condition when she gave birth to her first son. Over time, Amanda developed a following from her blog, who she invited to donate to her medical bills online and through fundraisers at her church, restaurants, and events. Through her friends and network, she even received a signed guitar from and meet and greet with singer Leanne Rimes. Amanda became a local celebrity in her church and frequently spoke during services. Despite her claims that she had terminal cancer and was in chemotherapy, Amanda got pregnant again, welcoming her second son in May 2014. Amanda never actually had cancer. Instead, she used photographs, her blog, social media, and the kindness of strangers, friends, coworkers, and her congregation to financially support herself and Corey's lifestyle. The scam lasted nearly 8 years before Amanda got caught. She used her presence on these sites to document her non-existent medical condition and to aggressively solicit donations, supposedly to cover her medical expenses, the U.S. Attorney's Office previously told People in a statement. In truth, Amanda had no medical expenses. The donations she received were deposited into her personal bank accounts and used to pay her living expenses. Throughout her cancer hoax, Amanda also received free trips, babysitting, meals, and gift cards from her supporters, and most of the couple's close friends and associates believed she was really sick. Amanda and Corey also sought to lower Corey's child support payments to Aletta for Jessa, citing Amanda's medical expenses in court documents as a financial hardship. She also had jobs. She was a substitute teacher for the 2016-2017 school year at Valley Christian School in San Jose, California, and then hired as a full-time English teacher for the 2017-2018 school year. She left the job in February 2017, and it was later revealed it was due to her missing so many days of school for bogus medical treatment. Amanda never had cancer, though she alleged that she had Hodgkin's lymphoma and a form of lung cancer, which she said was her lymphoma metastasizing into her lungs. She was never diagnosed with any form of cancer or any other terminal illness. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Listener Beware with Francis at Sunsounds of Arizona. I've read an article about dental scams, and I'm currently reading a People magazine article about a woman who faked her cancer. Amanda attended support groups for cancer patients and survivors, it was revealed in Sick-Amanda, and likely used what she learned in these sessions to inform her blog and social media content about her fake cancer journey. In her many selfies for her blog, Amanda sported a shaved head to feign chemotherapy-related hair loss. According to a statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Northern District of California, Amanda forged letters from doctors and falsified medical records, medical bills, and certifications. In terms of her medical records, Amanda didn't have any showing a cancer diagnosis. Instead, she allegedly used an app called Follow My Health, in which patients can self-populate fields like medical conditions, prescriptions, and physicians' names. Sick-Amanda investigative producer Nancy Moscatiello noted in a 2023 Reddit Ask Me Anything that most people were reluctant to question Amanda's diagnosis, and that many people close to Amanda didn't necessarily read her blog to cross-reference or fact-check her claims. I know some of her friends in the medical field have beaten themselves up after hearing the podcast and feel terrible they didn't suspect anything, she explained. Some weren't reading the blog because they were seeing her all the time and getting direct updates, so they didn't see some of the more ridiculous claims she was making about treatment to the public. According to Moscatiello, it wasn't actually that hard for Amanda to fake her hospital visits. It's really easy to walk around a hospital, Mosca Tiello said in a bonus episode of Scamanda. She claimed that Amanda would feign illness and fainting to get emergency room admission. Once there, she'd claim to be dehydrated, which would get her an IV, and other times would just walk around hospitals, following signs to get to the wards she needed to keep her ruse going. Much of her supplies, like syringes, were commonly found in emergency rooms and were disposable items. Other items, like oxygen tanks, could easily be purchased from medical supply stores, Scamanda host and producer Charlie Webster told Glamour in 2023. How much money did Amanda Riley steal? Through wire fraud for her online donations, Amanda was convicted of stealing $105,513.43 from 349 people and entities. However, donations of cash, checks, gift cards, items and services like babysitters, Jess's athletic coaches, meals and deliveries weren't included in those charges. Mosca Tiello said in a Reddit AMA that she's traced at least another $80,000 that wasn't from online donations. How did Amanda Riley get caught? In June 2015, Mosca Tiello received an anonymous tip from someone saying that Amanda was scamming their church by pretending to have cancer. The source included a link to Amanda's blog, and Mosca Tiello began investigating. There were things in the blog that didn't seem right, Mosca Tiello told The Sun. My sister had stage 4 lung cancer years before, and a friend of mine helped her by researching clinical trials. She looked at the blog and pointed me to inconsistencies, like treatments that were not available at home or could only be administered by a medically trained person, and medicines that could only be kept in a laboratory fridge. She also noted that many of the alleged clinical trials Amanda said she participated in weren't held at the hospitals she claimed to travel to for them. Mosca Tiello said on Scamanda that she contacted Corey's ex-wife Aletta, as well as several hospitals where Amanda claimed to have been treated. While most couldn't discuss specific patient histories, they disclosed that some of the procedures and anecdotes in the blog didn't align with typical cancer cases or treatment regimens. Armed with evidence, she presented her findings to financial crimes detective Jose Martinez at the San Jose, California Police Department in September 2015. Martinez flagged the matter to the IRS in February 2016, and there was a raid on the Rileys' home that September. Still, it would be several years before any further action was taken. In late summer 2017, Amanda found out that Mosca Tiello was investigating her and filed a civil harassment restraining order against the producer. Amanda falsely claimed that Mosca Tiello got Amanda and Corey fired from their jobs and harassed their families and friends, Mosca Tiello said on Scamanda. It took 6 months for Amanda and Mosca Tiello to actually go to court because Amanda kept delaying her appearances for alleged medical issues. After a January 2018 hearing, a judge ruled against Amanda's request for a restraining order, in part because Mosca Tiello's legal team revealed emails and text messages about Amanda's poor attendance at her job, which led to her dismissal. Mosca Tiello continued her investigation and shared her findings with Martinez and the IRS. In July 2020, IRS Special Investigator Arlette Leons Lee officially charged Amanda with wire fraud, citing her blog, social media posts, and donation links being specifically for her cancer treatment. Because Amanda never had cancer, but made her followers and supporters believe she did, donations made digitally to support her medical expenses constituted wire fraud. What was Amanda Riley's sentence? Amanda initially pleaded not guilty to her falsifying documents and wire fraud charges, but switched to a guilty plea in October 2021. Her attorneys requested a 6-month prison sentence, with prosecutorial guidelines recommending 18 months. At her sentencing hearing in May 2022, Amanda, limping, apologized to those she'd hurt. "There aren't enough words to adequately express how horrific I feel and how sorry I am that this happened. My heart aches every day thinking I did something that hurt other people," she said. "This is the worst thing I have ever done and the worst mistake I could have made. I don't sleep well at night because this haunts me daily. I can't even look at myself in the mirror without feeling ashamed, and I am so sorry." Amanda also lamented that she went from being a nobody to being negatively covered in dozens of tabloids and news articles, and that she feared using social media because of the negative messages she'd received since her lie was exposed. She also said she was devastated that she wouldn't be present with her sons, telling Judge Beth Labson Freeman, "Being a good mom is what I've always wanted most in the world, and it is my job to love and protect them. So it breaks my heart most of all that the reason they are going to be hurt and not see their mom every day is because of me." Judge Freeman was largely unmoved, telling Amanda in part, "Listening to you today, I can only imagine what a good act you had for 8 years in front of churches, community groups, and in your blog and online, and with your children. It breaks my heart to think that your boys will not have their mother with them, but it was your responsibility before you committed these frauds to think about your parental obligations. It is not the court's job to clean that up for you." Judge Freeman told Amanda that she believed she would scam again and that she found the public to be at significant risk from her. Noting that the maximum sentence was 20 years in prison, she sentenced Amanda to 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised probation, and to pay restitution plus interest to all 349 donors. Did Amanda Riley's husband, Corey Riley, know about her fake cancer scam? It remains unclear whether Corey knew that Amanda was faking her cancer or not, though Jessa claimed on Scamanda that she knew Amanda was lying about her condition. On the podcast, Martinez said he believes that Corey knew Amanda wasn't sick, but that there's no way to prove it. Jessa said on Amanda that she thinks Corey knew that Amanda was faking her medical conditions. "He was very, I want to say, not himself, but I think I don't really know who he is as a person," Jessa said of Corey. "He kind of just looked numb all the time. He was always taking us everywhere. He was always going to the gym. With my dad, he'd always just kind of be like, 'Oh, you know, Mandy's sick and we can't do this.'" She added of Corey and Amanda, "They would take us to the hospital almost to kind of prove there was something wrong with her." Amanda's public defender did not immediately respond to people's request for comment. Was Amanda Riley's husband, Corey Riley, charged? According to Martinez, it would be too difficult for prosecutors to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Corey knew Amanda was lying about having cancer. "I felt he knew what was going on," Martinez said on Scamanda. He added that since Jessa knew that Amanda was lying, he felt it was unlikely that Corey wasn't aware of the scam. In her Reddit AMA, Mosca Tiello said she believed Corey was in on the scam as well, but echoed Martinez's stance that it may be difficult for prosecutors to prove that case. Corey has not faced any charges in connection to Amanda's scam and supported her throughout her trial. Where is Corey Riley now? Corey lives in Austin, Texas, where he is currently caring for his and Amanda's two sons, Webster told Glamour. The couple moved to the state after Amanda was fired from her job as principal of Pacific Point Christian School in Gilroy, California, per the New York Post. Jessa, who is now married and living close to Aletta, said in the Scamanda finale episode that she hadn't seen her father or Amanda for a long time and that she was really hurt but also kind of relieved when the case was over. Jessa said that neither Amanda nor Corey have personally apologized to her outside of Amanda's speech at her sentencing hearing. Jessa claims that Amanda and Corey haven't even admitted that Amanda doesn't have cancer, instead telling her, "Things are not as they seem." Where is Amanda Riley now? Amanda began serving her 5-year sentence at Federal Medical Center Carswell, a federal prison in Fort Worth, Texas, in September 2022. Carswell typically houses inmates with physical disabilities or illnesses, as well as mental illnesses and disorders. In June 2024, Amanda's legal team filed to reduce her sentence, Moscatiello revealed on Instagram, citing newly diagnosed mental health issues. Judge Freeman denied the request. In August, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that in her first 18 months at the facility, Amanda was transported by ambulance to receive medical care 24 times. Prosecutors said that their medical records include evidence that Amanda may have Munchausen syndrome, in which an individual fakes symptoms or makes themselves ill to garner attention. Prosecutors said medical professionals saw Amanda trying to interfere with an infusion pump and holding her breath during an oxygen saturation test. And now we have just enough time for a poem from The Independent. That concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at Sun Sounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then, under Programming Links, left click on On Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.